It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back, friends. It's hour two of In This League. It's ITL on Sports Grid. We got some gambling week two picks coming up here in a little bit. Boggs, sad week if you loved comedy. And I know it gets tropey sometimes. Someone passes away. No one talks about them for 20 years. And then they pass away and everyone says how great they are. But we lost Norm Macdonald. And Norm Macdonald, a hilarious comedian, completely underrated, very private person. You know, no one knew he had cancer. His own agent didn't know he had cancer, by the way. He lost his battle. And the one thing that everybody gets to share is like everyone starts sharing their favorite clips. And we were talking off air about some hilarious ones. So I have a semi Norm Macdonald story. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So when I moved to LA in my 20s, I was working at a recording studio doing this paid internship type of thing. And what they would do is just send me out. I was a gopher and I just go get crap for people. And this is, you know, I'm 20 years old. I'm in LA coming from Arizona. It's a big thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got a car and that's an advantage for, you know, anybody to take advantage of somebody. So I'm out working and they send me to go pick up some stuff, you know, down in downtown LA, and I'm driving and I have my old white Mustang. I'm at a stoplight and this homeless person starts walking across the street at you're like, we're talking like, you know, baggy, sweatpants and ratty shirt and like a really bad facial hair and stuff like that.
Yeah. You said homeless person. We all got the idea.
Yeah. That's what they look like. And they walk across and they get to the middle. And he stops right where my car is and he turns and he just looks at me and then he starts to walk away. And I go, that's not a homeless person. That's Norm Macdonald. It was Norm Macdonald. He stopped, he turned and he looked at my car and then he kept walking.
That's crazy.
And I would, cause I was like, I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, man, look at this dude. And he's getting closer. And I'm like, what the?
And then that just tells you how much money you have to make to live in LA. Even Norm Macdonald looked like a homeless person.
Norm Macdonald just didn't care. He just had sweatpants on and he was just crossing the street and he had, you know, a bunch of facial hair at that time. And I was like, that's Norm Macdonald. And I'm like, that's wild.
That's news to you.
That was news to me. That was not the fake news. Yeah. He wasn't doing, you know, the thing that he said OJ's favorite thing. He wasn't killing people. My favorite thing about Norm, the OJ jokes. All right, when we come back, week two picks. It's Bogman the Welsh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me.
ITL is on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Or, thank God we got this fixed. You can just go to inthisleague.com and it will just swoop you right over there. It's fantastic. You guys can sign up for all the chaos. Join our little corner of the fantasy audio universe. We've got live streams, group me rooms. We do, I do my card event giveaway streams. Bogman has his live stuff he does on Thursday Night Football. We've got picks, we've got ranks, tons of stuff, secret shows, which we're behind on. We got to pick up on. Check it out. Patreon.com/ITL Army. Support your boys. We'd appreciate it if you do so. It is week to pick up. Rehash. We've only gone through two games. We did that in the last part of hour one. We've only gone through two games, so we're picking up here. Third game on the slate. The Buffalo Bills are traveling to Miami. Big disappointment on my end. I was a big Bills guy last week. I mean, I'm still kind of a big Bills guy, and it's going to be hard for me.
Every single share of Josh Allen, don't you?
Yeah, I also believe, even after last week. Buffalo's at Miami. They're a 3.5-point road favorite. 47.5 is the line, Bogman.
Yeah, for me, this game is definitely going to be going to the Bills. I think the Bills are pissed off about losing to Pittsburgh last week.
Yep.
I think it is a tough thing to go on the road to a division opponent and win a game, even when they're close matched and everything. But Miami didn't do a lot to inspire confidence last week. And I know Belichick schemes well and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Tua didn't look good. Mac Jones in his first start ever looked better than Tua last week. So for me, just knowing what I saw from Miami and what I saw from Buffalo, and I really think Buffalo can get better. They do have there are some like little injury things that did crop up as we're recording this today. Gabe Davis questionable and Matt Milano questionable for Buffalo. And then on the Miami side, Will Fuller, he just didn't practice today and they didn't say why. It was just undisclosed. No. So there is some stuff going on there, but Tua just didn't look good. They were third worst in the NFL or fourth worst in the NFL in total yards last week, had 185 yards passing, which is terrible. 74 yards rushing, which isn't great. They were not great at converting third downs. So for me, I think this is a Buffalo walk. So Buffalo in the under, because I don't know how many points Miami's going
to
score.
I 1,000% agree with you on that. This is a tier one bet to me. This is Buffalo. I agree on the under as well, that I just don't know what Miami is going to do. Even through all the, I mean, Pittsburgh struggled and Buffalo struggled, but even through all of that, on both sides of the ball, Buffalo was a top 10 defense last week. They held to the 10th least rushing yards. They were fourth in passing yards. Put that on top of Miami not looking fantastic, and I think they are going to be ringing in some points. I love Josh Allen this week, and I love the Buffalo Bills. This is a tier one bet, and full agreement with you, Buffalo and the under. The Rams are going to Indianapolis. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite, and we got the line at 49, which I think is correct. No, this has actually changed, Bogdan, significantly. The line you have is incorrect on FanDuel. It is 47.5. So that is a 1.5 difference, but it is still 3.5.
And well, look, the thing in this game to me is, how the hell is this only 3.5 points? When I think this might be my most confident game of the week here. And I know LA has to travel a long way to get to play the Colts, but they look dominant. They looked in rhythm. Matt Stafford threw that, first quarter touchdown to Van Jefferson. And that was a nice play action deep pass that looked awesome. Daryl Henderson looked much improved last week as well against, you know, the Bears defense is the strength of their team. They're a good defense. So, and Stafford carved them up. The Colts are going to get better. And I am 100% positive on that because I think that team is good. And I think that Carson Wentz is going to, bring this team to a better record than Phillip Rivers did, but they were out of sync last week. I kind of, I think overestimated last week how much time that Frank Reich and Carson Wentz had spent together and him being dropped in after not getting a lot of time in the preseason with them. So, you know, that part was on me. It ain't going to bite me in the ass 2 weeks in a row. I'll tell you that. So, I will not bet the Colts until I see them put some stuff together. Maybe it'll be in this game, but I doubt it. The Rams are a legit Super Bowl contender. I think they should be getting more than 3.5 points. And because the Colts offense did not look in rhythm, I'm going to take the under here. So for me, 3.5 and the under, even though it shifted 1.5.
Yeah. This is another tier one bet for me. I love the Rams were so impressive. They are an incredibly impressive looking team. The defensive side, they're going to play better. The offensive side, there's rhythm there. I fully see Matthew Stafford moving through the receiver. I mean, Cooper Kupp is always going to get his. Robert Woods is going to be better this week. I'm not even sure I mind what I think the receiving prop might've been 62.5. I'm not even sure I mind that with Robert Woods this week. He had a good connection with Higbee. They moved the ball really well on offense. On the defensive side, they're going to be stout. The Colts, you know, they've got a strong defense. Their offense was out of sync. This is not the game for them to get back in sync. This is not the game for them at all. There's also the possibility for a guy like Jalen Ramsey to move around a whole lot. So this is going to probably change targets for Carson Wentz, which I think is another thing. I really like the running backs in this one and running back player props. I just don't see massive, massive scoring, which makes me like the under. And you also saw that move down a little bit and point and a half. But I love the Rams. I love the Rams to win this. I don't know, maybe double digits. You know, maybe this is a 20 to 10 game. So give me the Rams in a tier one bet. I think I have a solo bet on them as well. Love this one. Where are we at on time? I wasn't paying attention. Okay, we're still good for this one. My 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite. I wonder if this is going to change and is going to be different for you guys. And yeah, this line is a little bit different. It is 3 points now to San Francisco. It moved from 3.5 to 3. And the over-under on FanDuel is 50.5. So it's moved up a point. And San Francisco has lost a little bit because I think there has been, I would be interested if you have the public bets bogs. I would not be surprised if the betting is heavily, and obviously it has to be if that line has moved, heavily in favor of the Eagles right now.
It's not. It's still on the Niners.
It's still on the Niners? Okay.
Yeah.
It's moved a little bit. The Niners just lost one of their best linebackers, Drake Greenlaw. Damn it. They lost a corner, though they did bring in Drake Kirkpatrick, and they've got their running back situation, which is dicey. The Eagles, though, also questionable with Miles Sanders is out there. What do you think about this one?
I mean, look, I don't like this game. You know, the last two we said we really like, you called them top tier. This one I don't like as much because I think this can play one of two ways. I think Philly beat a bad Atlanta team last week. So you're not going to get that, you know, running Jalen Hurts like a deer through the San Francisco defense. I don't think that's going to happen even with Drake Greenlaw out. But what you might get is Jalen Hurts carving them up in the secondary because the Niners secondary is not good and it's banged up right now. So that could happen. But I side more on what we saw last year out of this offensive line from Philly and Nick Bosa and company, Eric Armstead, you know, all these guys. I think they're going to destroy this Philly offensive line this week. So for me, I am going to take your Niners. I'm not very confident in this game at all. I'll take the over 50.5 just because I think this could be a game that plays point for point. I think I'm kind of hedging there because I think if the Niners win, it probably will go under. But I could see it going being a point for point game and almost being like what happened with your Niners last week where they get up in the first half. They don't do enough running the ball in the second half and they kind of let Philly come back into this game. So give me the Niners and give me the over here.
I'm going to stay with the Niners, though. My confidence level is not high. This is probably the tier two, you know, the feeling good. There's the lock, there's the feeling good. And
I would put it underneath. So sure. Yeah, it would be a three for me.
This would be a three. It's close, the Niners three as well. I'm going to take the under on this one. I mean, Philly really, really did get a job at stopping. They were third best in pass defense in week one. 49ers. We're going to have to see how much they're going to rely on it. They still are not going to implement Ayuk. So you've got essentially Kittle and Debo running wild. Garoppolo is going to have to be super efficient. Friends, don't go anywhere. We come back, breaking down the rest of the games right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League. Oh.
Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts that we've got going down, like the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. We have Bob Harris from Football Diehards on. We also have our cheat sheet where Bogman and I give our five favorite bets of the week, which could be lines, could be player props. That is on there. Bogman has some exploitable matchups, the five most exploitable, and some of our favorite DFS plays. That's just a little portion of the podcast. We have the interviews. We do voicemails, which was hands down, bar none, one of the funnier segments we've done in 2021 was this week's voicemail. That's just the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. We've got baseball. We've got Prospect One. Bogman has a multitude of non-ITL, like college football shows, but we've got more. IDP is there as well on ITL. So come and check it out. Search In This League, search ITL, and you will find our podcast. Subscribe today as well as this show so you don't miss any of the picks, because we're going to rock it this week. Right, Boggs?
Right. Sure. That's right.
All right. Next game up, we have got Cincinnati at Chicago. And since a lot of these lines are just fluid and moving, I'm just going to make sure we double check here. You've currently got it Chicago by 1.5, which is correct. Okay, this one is good. And 45 is the over-under. So we're all good there. Chicago favored by 1.5 at home over Cincinnati. What you got?
Another game that I don't particularly care for. I will say I was surprised, legit surprised, that Cincinnati had enough to beat Minnesota last week. I thought Minnesota was going to be a much better team. It could mean that Cincinnati's better than I thought. But Chicago has a strong defense. I know they did not look good against the Rams, but I just told you before. Known
it last week.
Yeah, but I think the Rams are a legit Super Bowl contender. I don't think that the Bears are in that category, nor are the Bengals, in my opinion, right now. So both these teams are going to get better. Look, I think this might be, I think we're already in Justin Fields territory. I think after seeing what Andy Dalton had, I think second half of this game, it might be Justin Fields out the tunnel instead of Andy Dalton. Cincinnati's defense is still rough. They played better than expected last week, but they still gave up 24 points, went to overtime and all that stuff. So I'm going to take Chicago. I'm going to take the over in this game because I do think Cincinnati can play point for point. But I think if who I think is going to the line is so low, I think you have to take Chicago if you think they're going to win because it's only 1.5. But I'm going to take the over here because I think Cincinnati can score and be scored on. So my ideal in this is, you know, like a 30-27 type game in Chicago's favor, and it comes down to a field goal.
Interestingly enough, some other books have Chicago minus 2.5. So you're getting a full point on FanDuel. You know, you might not be getting it now as you're listening to this, but at least early in the week. Yeah, I'm with you on this. Cincinnati gave up the fourth most passing yards in week one. And, you know, not that Chicago is a powerhouse, but I fully believe this is an Allen Robinson bounce back week. I think Chicago's a better team. I think David Montgomery is a monster. Yes, Cincinnati stopped the run, but that's not something to pick out from this. And I also think Cincinnati from behind will be absolutely slinging the ball. So 1.5 Chicago, it's almost a straight pick 'em. Give me Chicago Bears. And I am totally with you on the over. I think that makes a ton of sense. Your Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. And if I remember correctly, I think this line has moved down. I want to say it was Pittsburgh 6.5 very early on. The under is a little bit less than you have. 5.5 is still in favor of Pittsburgh, but it is now 46.5 over under, or at least on we're doing the FanDuel side, 46.5, not 47 of what you have, Boggs. So what do you think? Pittsburgh.
This one to me is nuts because of the public betting that I saw before. It actually has shifted a ton. Because I had yesterday, it was sitting somewhere around 90% towards the over. And today it is 53% on the under.
Wow, that's a huge shifted. Swing.
I think that might be someone placing a very large bet on the under, you know what I mean? So something like that. But you said it moved to 46.5. Look, for me, Pittsburgh struggled real bad scoring. And I know Buffalo's defense is good, but they did not look in rhythm either. The offensive line is patchwork right now. They're going to have to work through some growing pains. So I think Pittsburgh is going to struggle to score on offense in this game. But what they won't struggle with is stopping the Raiders from moving the ball down the field. I mean, we saw Baltimore, who has a pretty solid defense too. I'm not trying to take anything away from Baltimore, but they stymied Derek Carr in the first half. But Pittsburgh's
defense, also the thing with the Raiders that was like really astonishing is it's kind of what you're saying. Like they just struggled to move the ball to find. They could not get Henry Ruggs going.
All
he
they
could
did
not get open.
Give Darren Waller 19 targets. That's that it. Was their whole game plan.
And then it got hurt. There's three things that you do. It was Waller. It was dump off to Renfro on the corners. Or a middle dump off to Drake once the game started going. That's their place. I agree with you. Pittsburgh is going to be able to stop that. I worry about the efficiency of them, and I think they're going to go on to get Najee going as well. I don't know how confident I feel about the over-under. I kind of side with where, you know, I trust you in that respect, but I do like Pittsburgh in this game.
Let me
and
just
I say
give
this,
you
this. Is a tier two bet. This is the I'm feeling good, but it's not a lock.
I probably will never tier the Steelers. So just take that.
But if you did, let's say a hypothetical.
All right. If you did it, OJ, how would you have done it?
How would you?
Let me give you the injury report for the Raiders here. Denzel Good tore his knee, done for the season. One of the starting offensive linemen. Richie Incognito is questionable with a calf. Gerald McCoy, IR, done for the year. Then we have Denzel Perriman, who started for them last week, questionable with a hip. Kwiatkowski, who's the backup to Perriman, questionable with a concussion. Marcus Mariota, who came in for one trick play, is out after screwing up his quad. Yannick Ngakoue is questionable, trending towards not playing with a hamstring injury. And Josh Jacobs is questionable with this toe and foot injury, or as you saw on NBC Sports Edge the other day, just said everything, which was pretty funny. So there are a lot of injuries on the Raiders side. So
sounds like you want to say it's a lock, Pittsburgh.
I'll never say a lock for my Steelers because
but
that's bad luck.
Hypothetical.
Well, I'll let you say it. What do you think about this game, Walsh? After I just broke down that injury report to you too.
I like it. I think it's not quite in the like lock, you know, I'll just put single money down on it, but it's the top tier of the feeling good tier two category. And how I look at that is this is how I do it. I am no expert. I wouldn't try to claim to be or anything like that, but I look at like my tier one bets as ones I will put singular amounts of money on. Tier two are usually involved in maybe like if I want to get, you know, frisky and maybe a two or three player prop or team parlay or something like that. I think Pittsburgh would be a great one to throw into one of those. I think it'd be a great one to throw in -5.5, maybe with two locks, you know, maybe like I love the Rams, you know, Rams, Steelers, and then take one other that you like in there and put that into a parlay. I like it, but I'm with you. I'm on both sides of this. New England at the Jets. New England, 4-point favorite. I'm going to double check it though. And the over under is set at 42.5. Boggs, you can start talking about this. It looks like this one has moved quite a bit. Oh, it is now New England 5.5. So that is a point and a half. The over under is the same though.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Doesn't really change anything.
Yeah, what the line is on this game. The Jets did not look good. And I like Zach Wilson. I think he's going to get better, but it's his first home start against the Patriots. Bill Belichick against, you know, scheming against a rookie quarterback in his second start in the NFL. I mean, they have a rookie quarterback, which is why I think this line opened as low as it did. And, you know, the Patriots had that game locked up against the Dolphins to that stupid fumble by Damian Harris. So it should be 1-0. They're not. I think the Patriots walk all over the Jets in this game. The Jets roster is specifically on defense is one of the worst in the NFL. I think they can score. James Crowder's back, by the way, activated off the COVID list. So he will be back in this offense. Corey Davis is good. So maybe this goes point for point, but so I'll take New England and I'll go with the over 42.5. That's just a low score. You know, 28-21 gets this done and hits the over. So that's what I'm looking for here. So New England in the over for me.
I wish I would have got in on this early too for that New England at 4. I still don't know. I still don't mind it too much though, because I'm going to take the under because I think the Jets are going to struggle. And I know the Jets always, you know, they're going to play Patriots one heavy game, but I think they are going to go heavy into Zach Wilson's face. I do like that you have Crowder back, but this team has zero running game whatsoever. I think Damian Harris is going to run on them. I think Mac is going to be efficient. And I don't think the Jets are going to score a bunch. I think this is going to be something, you know, 24-7. I think the Patriots are going to route it. I like the under, and I'm almost tier one on Patriots, maybe tier two as far as the over under, but give me the under in that one. All right. When we come back, we got to finish them up. How many more do we have here? We got six more games on the slate as we're going to be making our picks here. Minnesota, Arizona, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, which has got the second highest spread between them. And we've also got the highest over-under. That is still to be said. So don't go anywhere. Bogman of the Welsh, more picks coming up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back, friends. It's Bogman. It's Welsh on Twitter at Bogman Sports at Is It The Welsh. Check out InThisLeague.com if you want. Check out the pods. Do the stuff. Do the things. Hour two, we are finishing up with our week two bets. We have got six more games with essentially this segment to get through them, Boggs. Next up, Minnesota at Arizona.
You skipped one.
Oh, did I skip one? Oh, okay. We have seven. That's why I did that. All right. New Orleans at Carolina. New Orleans, 3-point favorite, 45.5 is the over under. And 3.5, 4. Yeah, this is all still good. This one is still solid. So what do you think? New Orleans or Carolina?
I got the Saints. Look, I like Carolina, but I don't think they're there quite yet. Still Sam Darnold's second game. We saw how dominant this Saints defense looked against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he did do a lot to instill confidence, but for me, I got the Saints in this one. I'll go with the over because I do like what Carolina has on offense. And Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns. So I don't think that's going to happen again, but give me the Saints. Give me the over in this game.
This is where I'm going to get off book a little bit. I'm going to take Carolina at home on this one. McCaffrey back just really sets this offense up. I was disappointed they didn't get to Robbie Anderson like they did. And I think this is going to be a better place, especially if who's the corner that is it Bradbury that they're going to have on DJ Moore? Who am I thinking of?
That Bradbury is on Terry McLaurin this week. He's on the Giants.
I don't know who I'm thinking of in the New Orleans.
Well, Lattimore's hurt.
Yeah. Lattimore is hurt. Yeah, that's exactly right. McCaffrey, the wide receivers. I don't believe the New Orleans offense we saw last week is the exact same offense that we're going to see moving forward, yes, especially if you believe like that. Winston is yeah. 5 touchdowns. I think you're going to have a little bit more established run. I think the ball will get in the air, but I like the home team in here and I like Christian McCaffrey to have a big game. So give me Carolina, but I will also take the over, which is set at 44.5. Please give me that one. All right. Now Minnesota at Arizona. Arizona is a 3.5-point home favorite. 30.5 is your line, Boggs, and that all looks still good. That is all still holding.
Well, one of these teams looked like an absolute contender and went into Tennessee and stomped the Titans, and one of these teams lost to the Bengals. So for me, it's the Cardinals. It's the over. I think they score. I don't think their defense is going to – I don't think Chandler Jones gets 5 sacks again.
You know, there's like a prop bet out there right now where it's like Chandler Jones gets 4 or more sacks, and it's some ungodly number.
Yeah, look, Chandler Jones gets them in bunches, right? But we just saw this offensive line kind of shut down the Cincinnati pass rush, at least on the outside. with Sam Hubbard and company out there. So BJ Hill had 2 sacks for them as an interior defender, which was surprising to me. But I don't think Chandler Jones is going to get it done this week. So I'll take the over, but I think the Cardinals win this one going away.
Yeah, I like this one. FanDuel also had a really nice bet. It might just be for local Arizona people, where they were giving Arizona plus 14.5, just as like one of those promotional type of things. And I was like, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Arizona looked really good. You know, you and I discussed this, where it was like, boy, the NFC West is going to be tough. You know, the Niners of all the teams look like the worst of all of them. And 4-0, I mean, great record. Yeah. They move the ball well. Their offense with the Cardinals looks like it is going to be efficient. The defense played really solid, and the Vikings underperformed. I like the over on this as well, but give me 3.5 points on Arizona. I'm 100% with you on this one. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. This is the second highest spread. Tampa is a 11.5 point favorite at home. 52 is the is your over underline box.
Lock of the century of the week right here. I love this one. This is Tampa Bay in a stomping. You get
this actually has moved, by the way. I want to point this out. This line has moved. Tampa is 12.5, but the over under has dropped to 51.5.
Make it 30 points. It doesn't matter. Tampa Bay in an absolute stomping. They have extra rest. This you just saw Jalen Hurts carve up this team on defense in Atlanta. What is Tampa Bay gonna do? What is Tom Brady gonna do to this team with AB and Godwin and Gronk and Evans? You know, we talked about it on ITL. I love the rushing prop bets for Fournette and Ronald Jones. So I like those too. When those come out on FanDuel, check those out. So I think this is an ass kicking all Tampa Bay all day for me. I'm going to take Tampa Bay, and I think they're the only one scoring here. So I'm going to take the under 51.5 as well. This could be like a 35-10 game, which just gets everything for you. So I see Tampa Bay in an absolute walk.
I agree with everything except on the over. I think Tampa Bay is going to walk this, but doing so is going to have Atlanta slinging the ball. And they can't sling the ball. If it's one thing that they can do is not run and throw the ball. And they got Gage is going to get reinvolved. They've got Ridley. I like Kyle Pitts to get reinvolved in this. I'm not saying that, you know, they are going to keep this. I feel relatively confident even at the 12.5, but I do think they can score some points. So, you know, even if you're looking at, let's say 35 points on Tampa Bay side, 2 scores get you there with Atlanta.
If there's a prop for Devin White to get a pick, I think he's going to be covering Kyle Pitts this week. I'll take it.
You like that?
That one.
They're probably going to get some good money on that. So I'm going to take the over, but I'm also going to take Tampa Bay. Dallas is at the Chargers. Chargers are a 3-point favorite. I didn't even notice this is the highest line of the week. It's actually moved up even another. It is 55.5, and actually the Chargers are -3.5. So -3.5 Chargers, 55.5 is your over under Boggs. Dallas just lost DeMarcus Lawrence for probably half of the season. Dallas has got some, they also lost Michael Gallup in there. So you got to consider that. What do you think? I didn't think the Chargers looked offensively incredible in that last game. There were no targets for Austin Eckler whatsoever, but what say you on this one?
Yeah. I hate this game. This is one I'm going to be running away from for sure. Because Dallas does have extra rest, right? So you could see a little confidence in them, and they were able to put up some points. But you know, a lot of that was in playing comeback against Tampa Bay. For me, I'll take the Chargers just because they're at home. I'll take the under because I don't really like what I saw out of the Chargers offense that much. Dallas's offense did look good, but yeah, a lot of penalties on that offensive line. I just think the pace of this game is a little different than Tampa Bay versus Dallas. So I'll take the Chargers in the under, but I will not do it with confidence. I run away from this game. I don't want any part of it.
I actually love Dallas +3. This is one of my picks. I do not think they're going to come out 0-2. Dak looks fantastic. They're going to reestablish some run. And I also didn't think the Chargers like looked that incredible. There's a huge line. I don't know how comfortable I feel about the over-under. I'm going to take the under on this one. But I do like the Dallas Cowboys +3.5. Tennessee is at Seattle. This is what I thought was the biggest line, but I didn't even notice the Dallas Charger one. Seattle minus 5.5, the over under at 54. And the reconfirmation of the Thursday lines, let's see. Well, you can go ahead. Oh, it's actually, this has changed. 6 to Seattle and 54 is still. So, but it is minus 6 Seattle on Tennessee.
Look, how about the 12th man in Seattle getting to go into that stadium for the first time in a year? How loud is that place going to be? It's going to be nuts in there. Tennessee coming off a tough loss. I think this tough guy, Mike Vrabel BS that he's doing, is going to start to wear thin in Tennessee pretty quickly. So I like Seattle here. I don't like Tennessee on the road. I don't like what we saw from them last week. I'll take the under. I'm much more confident in Seattle. The over-under, I don't like. I feel like it's just a little high at 54. If we, you know, because if Seattle gets up, we're going to see a lot of the same crap that we saw from Tennessee last week. They're not built to come back and win. Derrick Henry has to establish himself. They got to get play action, all that good stuff. I do think that this could be a big week for the corners here, for the wide receivers against these corners. I mean, so Julio and AJ Brown could have big weeks trying to play comeback against Seattle late in that game, but I don't know, man. I think this is like a, you know, this is a game that's like 35-17 still keeps you under. So
we both, by the way, we are essentially saying the NFC West is going to come out of week 2 8-0 is what
I mean. I would not be shocking. So yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take the Seahawks at home. I'm going to take the under. Much more confident in the Seahawks than I am on the under, though.
I'm agreement on the Seahawks, but I'm going to take the over in this one. Even if there is any bit of weather, there's going to be a lot of ball sling, and you have four of probably like the top 20 receivers in the league that are going to be in this game. Like, I think the Julio will get reestablished. AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, big games, lots of throwing. Derrick Henry setting this up. I like the over on the points. Give me that one. Now, this one is really interesting, Boggs, because this line has shifted significantly from where you had it. Kansas City is a 3.5-point favorite on the road to Baltimore. That did not change. You had this at 51.5 points on the over-under. As we're doing this right now, it is 54.5. So it's moved up a field goal. That is the biggest change we've had in overnight changes. This is just Wednesday to Thursday change.
Yeah, all right. I'll take the under now then. Look, I was already a little dicey on Kansas City and Baltimore. I still kind of like the over, but Kansas City, we chased them so much last year on these overs, and they barely ever hit it. So I'm going to take the under here, but I think Kansas City just rolls over Baltimore. And I hope that's true, too. You know, they didn't look quite right until the second half. The second half, they really got going. We haven't seen Baltimore really get going yet. I like this game for Lamar to establish a little bit more passing. I hope that happens. I hate this four-headed monster they're going to do in Baltimore. I think there's too much wishy-washiness to take Baltimore right now. So give me KC, but I'll take the under, and I don't have any confidence on this over-under.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on the over-under. I think it can go a million different directions. Efficient KC, you know, you lose offensive linemen for Baltimore in this weird running game. And also, I mean, how much was just Lamar trying to figure out who the hell to throw to? I don't feel confident in the over-under. I'm going to go with the over simply because Kansas City's defense is still is eh. They're still giving up points. Their offense is on point. We saw Baltimore give up a bunch of points to the Raiders. It feels more likely in that you're going to have a lot of point scoring. But I feel like this is Kansas City in a route as well. Like, this just feels like one that Kansas City is not going to, especially if Baltimore really wants to try to like establish a run early on, which could hit the under. I just like Kansas City big time in this one. And then the final one we've got is one of the bigger spreads, 11. Well, this might've changed. 11 Detroit at Green Bay. Let's take a look here. If this has moved Detroit as we are doing it, is 11.5 now in favor of Green Bay, and the line has moved to 48.5. So both sides have moved up half a point. But I don't think this matters because this is Green Bay, easy for both of us. And, you know, the Detroit did show the ability to do some scoring, but I will say they, you have a questionable tag on DeAndre Swift as well. And that would be one negative marker for this team putting up those points again. that I don't know if I feel confident about the over, but I feel very confident about Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay pissed off coming into this game. Aaron Rodgers angry. I think this is a stomping. And this is one where you just got beat down so bad, you have to now go and beat this team as bad as well. So for me, I'm taking Green Bay. I don't really care what the over is. I'm taking the over on this. I think they put up a ton of points. And we saw that Detroit came back on San Francisco as a good defense last week. Yeah. So I think they can put up some points late to hit this over. But I think Green Bay is walking away with this game at that point.
Those are our picks. All of them, our one and two. If you missed any of it, make sure you're on the podcast. You can listen to all the picks as we see what the hell happens this week. It's going to be better. I know that. Don't go anywhere. We're going to end out hour two right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking
the... In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back. Final segment, hour two, which means I go away, but Bubba tags in. So In This League does not go away, so don't you go anywhere. It has been all football, but Boggs... Like we did this on the baseball podcast. Salvador Perez is insane. Just hit his 45th homers. We're recording this. He could be up to 47 at this point, tying Johnny Bench's record for a catcher home run total. He legit might hit 50 by the end of the year. And you traded him for a complex level outfielder to me in a fantasy league.
Yeah. I hate it so much, dude. I mean, look, his career high when I traded him was 27 homers, and you know,
come double it.
Yeah, he might hit 54 home runs this year. Like, it would not be shocking. He's definitely breaking Johnny Bench's record because he just needs one more. It's absurd what this guy is doing. And look, you know, you held fast about a month ago that no catcher was still going to go in the top 100. Or there's no chance Salvi doesn't go. How about Salvi in the top 50?
Yeah, I think that's about. I mean, we saw Gary Sanchez a couple years ago in like the top 25.
Ooh. Salvi or Mondesi? Who goes first?
Ooh, Salvi. Easy.
Okay.
Yeah, easy in my mind. I know you probably feel a little bit different about that.
I think it's closer than you think, but I think it's Salvi.
I think it's Salvador Perez. He's the only one. He's the only catcher that goes in there. And here's why this happens also. For the first time, there really is a gap between catcher one and two. Like, actually, like, everyone was like, oh, well, Remuto, like, there's a gap, but it wasn't. This is a Grand Canyon size gap between one and two. Salvador Perez is going to double up the stats of the next catcher. So having him is an advantage. It is a true advantage where a lot of these others have been kind of just placated ones. Salvi is, I think Salvi is going to be top three rounds at this point because of what he's going to dominate at that position and the amount of games he's playing because of DH. I would be shocked if he's outside the third round next year. He's insane. He's absolutely all right. Nuts. Bubba's tagging in. You guys got more bets, more football. So don't you go anywhere. In This League, hour three rolls on. Bubba and Bogman right after this.